Women's E-News, weekly summary of news about women, women's issues, and from women's perspectives. From the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of March 14, 2009. I'm Anna Maria Roque. Starting with the good news, Cheers, Women's Council created. President Obama created a White House Council on Women and Girls by executive order on March 11th, the Washington Post reported. The council will be chaired by Valerie Jarrett, a senior advisor to the president and a longtime friend of the Obama family, and will coordinate a federal response to issues faced by women and girls. The Obama administration timed the announcement of the council to coincide with Women's History Month. Signing the order, President Obama talked about difficulties women in his family had faced, such as pay discrimination. The council's goal is to make sure U.S. women and girls are treated fairly in public policy, and that cabinet-level agencies consider the impact their policies will have on women and girls. It will also support and coordinate existing programs for women and girls, and will closely focus on improving women's economic security. The council is also expected to ensure that each cabinet agency is working to directly improve women's economic status, creates policies that promote a balance between work and family, and prevent violence against women and girls nationally and abroad. Members of the council include the Secretary of Labor, the Ambassador to the United Nations, the Attorney General, and key posts in the cabinet administration. More news to cheer this week. Australia overturned its global gag rule enacted in 1996, lifting restrictions on foreign aid to fund family planning programs that offer abortions, Agence France-Presse reported. The policy change came from Foreign Minister Stephen Smith, but it could lead to some clashes with Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, who says he opposed the decision. Nawal Al-Samarai withdrew her resignation as the Women's Minister of Iraq, the Associated Press reported. She resigned her office in February to protest the lack of support for women and efforts to improve their circumstances. Since the 2003 U.S. invasion, tens of thousands of women have been widowed and left without support, even as their legal rights and status have eroded. President Obama created a new ambassador-at-large for international women's issues on March 8, International Women's Day, and named Melanie Fofur for the job. Fofur worked in the Clinton administration as an aide and co-founded Vital Voices Global Partnership, an international nonprofit that invests in emerging female leaders. In Afghanistan, advocates for women's rights urge world leaders to ensure that women are at the negotiating table if a dialogue is opened with the Taliban, AFP reported. Recently, Western leaders like President Obama and Canadian Foreign Minister Lawrence Cannon have expressed interest in talks with moderate members of the Taliban in hopes of stabilizing the country. Some American Muslim women are working to enhance the status of women in Islam, the International Press Service reported. Sarah Al-Gobasha, a student at the New York University, hopes to break gender barriers by becoming a certified Islamic scholar, or Shika, and to study at Al-Azhar, a leading university for Sunni theology in Cairo, Egypt. However, its classes are gender segregated and its quality of instruction for women is significantly lower in quality than the men's. The Food and Drug Administration approved the new FC2 female condom on March 11th. The National Women's Hall of Fame has inducted 10 new honorees. The inductees are sculptor and artist Louise Bourgeois, research biologist Mildred Cohn, activist Karen DeGroe, who is a former president of the National Organization for Women, Susan Kelly Dries, co-founder of the nation's first domestic violence coalition, Ellie B. Leitheimer, the first woman and African-American to serve as general counsel to a major federal agency, Emma Lazarus, whose poem adorns the Statue of Liberty, Ruth Patrick, an ecologist who is the first woman elected to chair the Academy of Natural Sciences, suffragist Rebecca Talbot Perkins, Susan Solomon, an atmosphere scientist who developed the earliest theories on the ozone hole, and Catherine Stoneman, the first woman admitted to the bar in New York State. Now for the downside of news, Cheers, abortion harassment rises. Abortion clinics in the United States are bracing for an uptick in violence and picketing as anti-choice activists have become increasingly shrill in their rhetoric since the November election, RH Reality Check reported. The recent appointments of outspoken pro-choice figures to high-level positions, such as Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Ellen Moran, the communications director for the White House, have been met with criticism. So far in 2009, there has been an increase in the harassment of clinics. Former Representative Marilyn Musgrave, who lost her seat representing Colorado in November, is heading up the initiative called Votes Have Consequences to target pro-choice congressional candidates in the 2010 midterm elections. Musgrave told the paper she will mimic the grassroots organization tactics of the environmental group Defenders of Wildlife Action Fund, which helped her defeat in November. Musgrave was hired to lead the efforts by the Susan B. Anthony List, an anti-choice political action committee. More news to dear this week. Discrimination complaints filed with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission have hit a new record, the Associated Press reported. Bias claims based on sex, age, race, and retaliation all increased to new heights. Sex discrimination complaints increased 14% since 2007. The EEOC has not seen an increase of this magnitude in charges filed for many years, said Acting Chair Stuart J. Ishimaru. While we do not know if it signifies a trend, he said, it is clear that employment discrimination remains a persistent problem. A 75-year-old Saudi widow has been sentenced to 40 lashes and 4 months in prison after she was convicted of mingling with two young men who were not her relatives, the Associated Press reported. The men were her nephew and a business partner. She asked them to deliver bread at her home. In Kosovo, members of the women's movement spoke out against a shift in meaning to International Women's Day, the Balkan Insight reported. Critics are concerned that the day is being associated more with flowers and chocolates than substantial issues affecting women globally. Also noted in the news this week, among college-bound high school students, just 3% say they will consider attending a women's college, U.S. News & World Report reported. About 50 all-women colleges remain, down from over 300 in the early 1960s. Rebecca Harshbarger is editorial intern and Jennifer Thurston is managing editor. Frida Henley-Jensen is editor-in-chief. Background music is by Joan Hickey. This production of Women's E-News is brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio. This column and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio, I'm Ana Maria Roque.